All right, Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. It says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." So God's telling Israel here, says, look, if you'll turn to God every time, he'll be merciful to you. He'll be merciful. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Says, "Now ye be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord." I'm sorry, I read that wrong. "Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were." That makes a big difference. That one word there makes a big difference. You know what it means to be stiff-necked? You ever see someone get stiff-necked? They get mad, they're, then it stiffens up right back there, And God's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be like your fathers, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. But if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him." And once again, we see God say, look, even if you're like your fathers, you get stiff-necked, look, if you'll come back to me, I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious. Even to the point where he says, look, you know, the people that lead your children captive, they'll treat them well. Man, that's, if I had to be a captive, I don't want to be a captive. I'd fight it. But if I had to be, I want to be treated well by the captor. For sure. And he's saying, look, I'll have him treat you well. Then look in Psalm 116. We're going to read verses 2 through 8, and there's only one spot, but it kind of gives you a little idea of what's going on here. The verses before and the verses after. Says, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." That was verse 2. Verse 3 says, "The sorrows of death compassed me about, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." Then the psalmist says, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Often you find the psalmist starts to fall into problems, into trials, into difficult situations, and as soon as he turns back to God and cries out to God for help, God's there. God's there to give him mercy, give him grace. And then look in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 8. Says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." I find that interesting. Grace and compassion kind of tied hand in hand there. And then slow of anger and mercy are tied hand in hand there. Because mercy is having feeling and showing more kindness than justice requires. Simply put, it's not giving somebody what they deserve, that negative judgment that they deserve. Okay? There's a lot of Americans think they deserve something, but they think it's all good things they deserve. That's not what we're talking about here. Mercy is, man, they deserve judgment, they deserve wrath, they deserve a punishment, and mercy is withholding that from them. And so with that in mind, wow, slow to anger. Our God, when he shows mercy to us, he's slow to his anger. Praise the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of times in the Bible, there's several times we can see where God got angry. I'd say the flood is one of them. He got angry with man and said, all right, I'm wiping you out. There's a couple times with Moses, we saw it last week, I believe. He told Moses, he's like, okay, Moses, move out. I'm just going to wipe them all out. Take them all out, and we'll just start fresh with you. And Moses intervenes and goes, hey, God, don't do that. And so that often happens. We see that several times. And praise the Lord, God is slow to that anger. And that's because of his mercy. And then grace is just, it's full of compassion. Grace, expressing to others the same mercy, grace, compassion, and kindness that Jesus Christ has freely imparted to me. Simply put, hey, if mercy is not receiving the judgment, the wrath that we deserve, grace is receiving the goodness, the kindness, the love that we don't deserve. There's nothing in us that merits that, hey, God, you should show all kinds of blessings to me. We don't deserve that. What have we done to get it? We don't deserve it. We're going to look at this. How do we see God's grace and mercy in our lives? So first we're going to look at his mercy. How do we see his mercy in our life? Well, if you're saved here tonight, you saved your soul from hell. That's where we deserve to go. That's where we should go. But if you got saved, you're not going there now. Look at Titus chapter 3. Go to Titus chapter 3. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the mercy of God going, you deserve that, but if you accept the free gift of salvation, you won't get it. Titus chapter 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So even though, hopefully, if you're Christian, hopefully you've done some works of righteousness, right? I mean, if you're saved, hopefully you're going, Lord, I love you, thank you, I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to serve you, I'm going to try to do what's right. So hopefully you've done some works of righteousness. But none of those works of righteousness are getting you to heaven. None of those works of righteousness are keeping you out of hell. It's according to his mercy he saved us. So even if you did works of righteousness before salvation, which that's hard to do in the flesh. I mean, you did right. Okay, look, there were times I obeyed my parents. I didn't disobey them 100% of the time before I got saved. I did obey them occasionally on that rare occasion. But it was a lot easier once I got saved because the Holy Spirit was in me going, hey, you need to do this. Instead of my flesh rearing up, you know, there was still that battle, but man, things are a lot easier when the Holy Spirit goes, hey, you should do right. You should do right. But it's not our works of righteousness. We got that mercy that saved us. It's his mercy. Every sinner is headed to hell at one point. When you got saved, that mercy went, okay, you're no longer going there. You're not going to hell. Think about it even more. Who did Jesus come down for? Primarily came for the Jews, right? God in his mercy went, you know what? You don't want my son and his free gift? I'm going to give it to the dogs. Hey, that's what Jesus called us, right? We're the dogs. And as the woman said, hey, Lord, I just read this today. She said, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. Well, think about what God has done for you since you've been saved. If that's the crumbs, man, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. But he said, hey, I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We get salvation. We get salvation too. It's not just for the Jews. It's for us as well. We get our souls saved from hell. What else? What else does his mercy do for us? Look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then 4, verse 10 of 1 John, says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Mercy is God saying, you know what? You're not going to die for your sins. My son's going to die for your sins. He's going to stand in your place. He's going to bear your sins. That's his mercy. He took it. He took them. Took them off. All right, so he bore them. Now, so many people in this world, they want to hang on to them. Nope, I'm hanging on to them. And it sends them right to hell. But if you're willing to let go of them, that's salvation. Here, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. And he takes our sins from us. And we'll see what we get because of his grace. Man, mercy and grace, you know, if you study much of your Bible, they go hand in hand. I mean, if there's mercy, grace is probably there. If there's grace, mercy's probably there. They're hand in hand, hand in hand. Next thing is he gives us crop failure in our sowing and reaping. I'll explain that in a minute. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 6. I can't claim this one. Crop failure. I've heard other pastors, a pastor friend up in Wisconsin use this. So I didn't come up with this one on my own. See, often this passage of Scripture is used for the negative things in our life, which, okay, there is some, but it's, I believe this is predominantly for the good things in our life, okay? But sowing and reaping does happen with the negative things we do in our life, okay? Look at verse 7, Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now I believe verse 9 is talking about reaping to the Spirit. Okay? He's not saying, hey, don't be weary, you're gonna reap if you faint not. Well, no one wants to reap if they faint not to the flesh. Okay. But I believe that there's times God shows us mercy by giving us some crop failure and not letting us reap when we've sown to the flesh. Because I say that because, look, what do we deserve ultimately? To go to hell. Well, if you're saved, you're not going there. What is that? That's a little crop failure. And I think there's times, does God let us sometimes reap to the flesh? When we sow to the flesh, does he allow us to reap it? Yeah, here on this earth, sometimes it happens. But sometimes God goes, you know what? I'm going to ease it up a little bit, or he doesn't even give it to us at all. Think about it. Does everything come into your life that you really deserve? No. Sometimes God's merciful to us, and he doesn't bring everything into our life that should come in. Those negative things because of, hey, I've sown to the flesh. I've sinned. God doesn't always say, oh, you're going to reap that. Sometimes he gives us a little crop failure. Sometimes. What else? Well, God doesn't always bring judgment right down upon me right away. Look at Ezekiel 18. When I think of other people's gods, one of the things that really stands out to me is they're always angry, they're always mad, they're always vengeful, you know, they're always ready to just come down on you. That's one of the things I can't stand about the Catholic Church is that's their picture of God. They say their God is the same as my God. Well, their picture of their God is he's always mad at you, he's always angry at you, he's just ready to destroy you every second of every day. And the only reason why he doesn't is because Mary comes and pleads on your behalf. That's not my God. My God's not like that. I say that because of this. Look in verse 18, chapter 18, look at verse 21 of Ezekiel. It says, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sin that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. If I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die," God's asking that. He goes, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" So if God's saying this about the wicked, the people that are against him, and he's saying, look, I don't want to see them die. I want to see them turn from their ways and come to me. Well, then how much more does he want to see us when we stray away, turn from our ways, and go back to him? You know what I noticed? God doesn't always, when I start to stray, he doesn't just come right down on me and go, ah, you strayed, and judge me right away. Sometimes he gives us a little time to, you know, he's working on you, trying to get your attention. Sometimes he gives you a little bit of time to come back to him. Now, there's times where God will, all right, you've had enough time, judgment's coming. I've been trying to get you to come back, but you're not hearing me. But that's his mercy going, all right, come on. I'm not going to bring it yet, but you need to come back. You need to come back. He wants his children to get right with him. He doesn't want to see us stray off. He doesn't want to see us go off into sin. He doesn't want to judge us. He wants to have fellowship with us. We're his children. Look, if you've got kids, you want sweet fellowship with your kids, right? You don't want to sit there and be mad at them all the time. Especially when they're little, you're going, come on. You need to do what I'm asking you to do. Come with me. You know, come along with me. I don't want to be angry with you. I want to have that fellowship with you. I've got a good time with you. Psalm 136, we won't turn there, but if we weren't there, you would see this phrase, because his mercy endureth forever. Is mentioned in every single verse in Psalm 136. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. You know what that means? His mercy is never going to run out because it endures forever. And so, you know what? Tomorrow, there's going to be plenty of mercy. Next week, there's going to be plenty of mercy. If we're around next year, there's going to be plenty of mercy. All into eternity, there's going to be plenty of mercy for us. God's going, hey, that mercy bucket, it's not running dry and it's not running low. It's always full. And he's got plenty of it for us. And lastly, he doesn't allow every horrible thing to come into our life, does he? Think about it. You know, you're driving along and you almost got into an accident. It's God's mercy on your life going, all right, you know what? I'm gonna withhold you from that this time. He said, what happened to the time that he didn't let it happen? He wants to teach you something? I don't know. It's a hard lesson to learn. I get it, you know. But he's got a reason. Sometimes, you know, you're speeding along. Didn't realize the speed limit changed. And then you look up and you're like, oh, there's a police officer behind me. And then he turns his lights on, pulls you over. And you're hoping and begging, like, Lord, please, let it not be anything major. And then you find out, you know, you were speeding. Sometimes God gives you a little mercy and says, you know what? Tells that officer, don't give him a ticket. That doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes the guy just, you know, here you go. Can't even be polite to you. He just rudely gives you a ticket. But, you know, what you gonna do? You were speeding. That's what you deserve, right? But sometimes God's merciful. We get it all the time in our life. We just don't recognize it because, I don't know, sometimes we think, I deserve it. I deserve all the good things in my life. We forget how we're really not as good as we think we are. We think too highly of ourselves. But God's merciful to us. He's also gracious to us. If it wasn't for his grace, he never would have saved us. Salvation, man, that's a free gift. You didn't do anything to earn it. He just gave it to you. All you had to do was say, I'll take it. That's grace. He didn't need to give it to you. But he decided to. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can do to get it. Can't work for it. Can't buy it. You know, even if you had Jeff Bezos money or Elon Musk money, I mean, they got a lot of money. But they're not buying salvation. They can't earn it. Everyone gets it the same way, by grace, through faith. You got to put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, what he did for you. But every person's got to come to that conclusion on their own. Some do it, some don't. But it's his grace. What else? What else to do? Okay, so salvation is God showing his grace to us by giving it to us. What else does he do? Well, if salvation just kept you out of hell, that'd be a pretty good deal, wouldn't it? I think so. If God just said, you know what? When you die, you're dead like a dog. You're not going to hell. We're just eliminating you. Hey, that's not bad, you know? At least I'm not in eternity in hell dying. That's pretty good. Or if God said, all right, you're not going to go to hell, but you're just going to float out in the ethosphere somewhere. Okay. You know, might be a little boring, but at least I'm not in pain. Just hanging out. That wouldn't be bad. But God's grace is, no, his grace is, I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. Something really good. You're not just going to not go to hell. No, you're going to come to heaven with me. And we can go through Scripture. We can get some glimpses of it, all right? But I believe it was John who said, man, he couldn't even describe it. Paul, it was Paul who said it. I can't even describe it. That's how beautiful it was. I believe Paul died, went to heaven, and God sent him back. He tells us of a time. He doesn't remember if he was in the body or out of the body. I believe he died. God said, no, I'm not done with you. Go back. But he said he got a glimpse, and he couldn't even describe it. Well, if the Apostle Paul couldn't just, one of the, you know, hey, we look at him as a great missionary, great man of God, all right? If he can't describe it, then anyone else that says, oh, I know, I went to heaven, I know what it looked like, this, this, and this. Oh, no, you didn't. You're not as godly as the Apostle Paul. You know, you weren't used like him, and yet he couldn't even describe it to us. We know he's got streets of gold. We know that Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. That's my passage of Scripture for this. It's John 14, 1 through 4. Let's go there real quick. Let's go there real quick. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. That's got to be one massive house if there's many mansions inside the house. Not many rooms, no many mansions. That's a big place. Jesus said, look, I'm getting you a place ready. Getting you a place ready up there. He didn't just save us from hell. He allowed us to go to heaven. We don't deserve that. But that's his grace for us, giving us something we don't deserve. Look in Romans 5. Remember how we talked about getting our sins taken away, his mercy? Jesus took our sins and put them on him. Well, God didn't want us to be there with no clothes, with nothing left to cover us, right? You know, we're covered in our sin. We get saved, God goes, that gets off. Jesus bore it. You don't have to worry about it. But then if you didn't have your sin, what you got? Nothing. Okay? God says, I got to put something on you. Look what it says in Romans 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So because Adam fell, we all became sinners, but because of Jesus' obedience, going to the cross, God says, look, you're going to get his righteousness. That's a really good deal. That's not a pretty good deal. That's a really good deal. Yeah, you know, look, you can't go to a suit store, A bum off the street can't go to an expensive suit store and say, hey, can I give you my nasty, dirty clothes and in exchange? Can I have that $2,000 suit over there? They're going to look at me like, no, not unless you got $2,000 included. We're not talking a $2,000 suit. We're talking about the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you know what happens? You get that sin off of you. Put that righteousness on you. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he sees a righteous person. He doesn't see a sinner. That's the grace of God. Taking away our sin and giving us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, here's another thing he gave us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Could he have just left us, hey, you got saved, here you go, see you later? He could have. But I feel like we'd be a lot like the Old Testament saints. Some of these, I mean, you look at the Old Testament saints, they were trying to do right. I mean, Abraham, man, he was wanting to serve God, but did he mess up a lot? Yeah. David, did he mess up? Yeah. You know, I feel we'd be in the same situation. We'd really be messing up a lot if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, look, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. He's going to come, and he's going to fill you, and he's going to help you. He's going to be a comforter to you. He's going to be a guide. He's going to be there for you. Praise the Lord that we've got the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. We're not just having to figure this out on our own. He's there talking to us. And you know what? When you read your word, I don't know about you, but when I read, he talks to me. He'll point things out to me and go, hey, how about that? What do you think about that? Hey, what about that there? Hey, remember that passage you read? Yeah, that kind of goes together, doesn't it? I don't think I'd pick up any of that if it wasn't for him. I think of that verse where God says, hey, I know you're but dust. So he knows we need help. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you. Makes living for him a lot easier. What else does he give us? Well, his grace, he gives us some rewards for serving him. I got a bunch of different scriptures here. I'll turn to them real quick. If you want to follow it, first one's 1 Corinthians 9. Talks about some crowns here, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, one that's going to fall apart, one that's going to deteriorate, but we an incorruptible. Oh, we're going to get an incorruptible crown for running this race? Then 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8 says, I have fought a good fight. Oh, similar thing. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Hey, God gave this to Paul and told him to write it down. He said, look, I'm not just going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to everybody that loves my appearing. Crown of righteousness. Do we deserve a crown? No. We don't. It boggles my mind. God's going, look, okay, here's salvation, free gift. I'm going to give it to you. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. On top of it, you get the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed upon you. Oh, by the way, I know that you're going to real struggle trying to live for me, trying to do right for me. So on top of it, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you so that you can serve me. Oh, and so if you serve me, on top of that, I'm going to give you some rewards. How much are we really doing? He's giving us all that help. And then in the end, he's going, well, thank you. Here you go. That's grace. We don't deserve a reward for serving him. We should be serving him because of what he did for us, for not sending us to hell, for giving us his mercy and grace, for bringing us to heaven. That should be reward enough as it is. And he's going, hey, I'm going to give you some crowns too if you do these things. That's a pretty good deal. That's a really good deal. James chapter 1. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's another crown we can get. And then 1 Peter chapter 5. Sorry, folks. You might be out on this one, okay? This one's only for a particular group of people. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Looks like that's a pastor's crown there. Man, God's gonna look, you serve me, I'm going to give you some crowns. You don't deserve them. You're getting all kinds of help from me. But God's going, hey, at least you're not following after your flesh and deciding to listen to me. Do what I tell you to do. You're going to try to serve me in the Spirit? All right. I know I gave you a bunch of help for it, but I'll still give you a reward. Man, that's really nice. That's really good of God. That's really gracious of God to give us that. Then lastly, look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know what? When times of life get rough, when things get difficult, because it does, there's times life is a lot harder than others. It feels like it's just knocking you down. God says, hey, come to the throne. Ask for grace in time of need. I'll give it to you. Ask for mercy. You can easily obtain it. God's saying, I got plenty of it up here. You want some? I'll give it to you. Just ask for it. That's the kind of God we serve. He's not holding it back. He's not going, oh, dude, well, how much did you serve me this week before I give this to you? No, he says, hey, ask for it. I'll give it to you. I got plenty of it. Plenty of it. How do we get this to apply in our life? Hey, our God, he's a gracious, merciful God, right? So here's my question tonight. We're going to end it with this. How gracious and merciful are you to others? We just saw how much God has been to us, and he's been abundant to us. Do we turn around and give that back in return? That's hard to do sometimes because, well, they don't deserve that. Yeah, I know they don't deserve that, but neither did you. But if we're to be Christ-like, which we should be Christ-like, well, are we willing to give it? Are we merciful to others just as God was merciful to us? We need to give this out in our life. Look in Galatians. Galatians 6, if you remember, that was talking about sowing and reaping, right? If we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap the Spirit, life everlasting. Well, that applies to this too. Do you want lots of grace and mercy in your life? Sow it. Yeah, you're getting it from God. Hey, do you want it from others? Sow it. Give it out to others. God said, hey, you'll get it in return if you give it out. So I kind of take it if we don't give it out, maybe we won't see much of it. I find the guy that's the guy on the job site that's the hardest with everybody. When they mess up, when he messes up, does anyone give him any grace or mercy? No. They give him all kinds of grief too, right? Well, the guy that shows grace and mercy, then when you make a mistake here or there, they're going to go, hey, it's okay. We'll get it done. We'll figure it out. We need to show it to others. We need to show mercy to others, just like God is merciful to us. He doesn't come down with judgment all the time. We've got to make sure we're merciful with other people. Did a little bit this week with some of the students. You know, they're struggling with some things. And just, all right, you know what? I'm gonna see if I can help them. Give them a little mercy here. Try to encourage them, because I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel, man, I don't know what they're doing, but they're just getting knocked down. So you just try to give them a little mercy and, hey, okay, hopefully encourage them. And, all right, now you got to do a little bit better. Remember, we looked earlier, mercy was having feeling and showing kindness. More kindness than justice requires. You know, sometimes, justice demands this. All right, but does it necessarily always have to be given? Well, do we sometimes hold back that justice? You know what, I'm gonna show them some kindness. I'm going to have some kindness. I'm gonna give them some mercy. They deserve this, but I'm going to withhold that. How about grace? Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I found that interesting. Our speech should be always with grace. Think about that, okay? So, grace. Giving good to people that don't necessarily deserve it. So how can we have grace in our speech? Well, one, get the gospel out to people. Do they deserve the gospel? No. Just like we didn't deserve the gospel, but we got it. So we should be freely giving it out to them. Letting them know about, hey, Jesus died for your sin. You don't have to go to hell. He died for you. What else, though? There's more than just giving the gospel. How about an encouraging word? Well, they don't deserve an encouragement. Okay. But that's what grace is, giving them something they don't deserve. That's a good thing. Sometimes people need an encouraging word. Give it to them. Use that tongue for something good other than for something evil. You look at the Bible, the tongue's not normally a good thing. It's used to tear down. It's used to destroy. It'd be good once in a while using it to, hey, I'm going to try to encourage. I'm going to try to help. How about with our time? That's a very valuable thing, isn't it? You can't get it back. You can always make more money. You can never make more time. Now you be gracious with your time. Give your time to somebody. Do something for them. Even though they may not deserve it, but you're going to give your time to them. How about our actions? Do we show the love of God to others? Even when they don't deserve that kindness? Or do we withhold it? Hey, thankfully, God doesn't do that with us, right? He's constantly showing us love, giving us kindness, even though we don't deserve it. Are we Christ-like in our actions? I hope so. We need to be like God. We need to be merciful. We need to be gracious with others, just like God is merciful and gracious to us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, we thank you that you are the God you are. You're unlike any other God that anyone else worships. There is no other God like you, that is for sure. Praise the Lord, that's the case. Thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you for your grace towards us. I just ask you would bless this invitation. If you've worked in any hearts tonight, that would move and make some decisions, that'd be good ones. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to keep it quiet. God's spoken to you. Altar's open. You can spend some time talking with him. If you don't feel the need to move, maybe just talk to him a little bit. Say, hey, God, what are some ideas? Maybe you do a good job of being gracious and merciful. Ask him for some more ideas to improve on that. All right. Glad you could come tonight. Hey, go across the aisle, smile at somebody, shake their hand, fist bump, do something. Encourage one another before you leave tonight. Don't just rush out the door. Find somebody and give them a word of encouragement, right? It's a mess out there. I'm going to say, this is the mess out there. We need to encourage each other when we come into the house of God, because you ain't going to find encouragement out there. It's just getting worse and worse. We need to come together and say, hey, keep going. Keep serving the Lord. Amen. Brother Poe, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight?